If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to stand in honor of reading God's Word, and let's go to Luke chapter 23, verse 32. Luke 23, verse 32. I'll give you a minute to get there. Everybody there? Take your time. We got all day today. And the word says, there were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. When they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided the garments and cast lots. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning. And again, Lord, I come to you for your glory, Lord God, having called me to preach. And God, I want to stand back and get out of the way, Lord, and use me as a mouthpiece unto your people, Lord, for your glory and for your honor, Lord God, and nothing for me. Father, I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know you, Lord God, that they understand the simple word that they'll hear today, Lord God, from you. And God, that that word would penetrate their hearts, Lord, and that they would realize that they need to make a change. And Father, we give you this in your praise and your honor and your glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I told somebody, I thank God today that he sent his son Jesus, and I praise God this morning that he has arose, and because he arose, we are free. And I want to talk about this morning. God wants to talk about just how easy it is to be free. You know, and you may say this, y'all probably come to church this morning wanting to listen to about the resurrection. He's arose. He's in charge. And there's a whole bunch of celebrations going on this morning in churches all over the world. Millions of people will celebrate his resurrection. And I got to thinking, or I didn't get to thinking, God got me to thinking this week as I studied and we argued all week about it. I wanted to preach about the resurrection and he wanted me to come here, and so he always wins. But God asked me what is most important. I said, God, both of us are important. That you arose is surely important. But he said, I have arose, and now what needs to be done is people need to be reached for me before it's too late. You see, Jesus arose from that grave, and because he arose, we can live forever. Death was conquered. Death is finished. When we go to the graveyard of a Christian, it's just to say goodbye for a little while because we're going to see him again. But the most important thing that I could say today is about Jesus Christ and how he saves. And I want you to understand what he wants you to understand this morning. I know that there's a lot of people in here. Now, I'm going to say something. I got to say it. At Easter and Christmas, there's a lot of CEOs. Y'all know what that is? Christmas and Easter only. All right? I'm glad you're here. But since you're here, I'm gonna preach about Jesus. And next week, if y'all want to, we can go into the resurrection. But I want to show you just how wonderful God is that he gave his son, and just how easy it is for you and I to have God's grace. And before I even get started, there's so many celebrations going on today. And there is big orchestras, there is speakers that have memorized words for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they know just exactly when they're going to pray, what word they're going to say next, and the next song that's going to be sang. They know when they're going to finish the service. I don't know none of this. I don't have no notes up here. That's all I got. I depend on God to reach me and tell me what you need to hear. So I don't have a script this morning. We have dinner, so we may be a while, but just hang in there. You see, it is so easy this morning, and what I want to talk about this morning, what God wants to talk about is, it is so easy to become a Christian that religion that churches have killed, have stopped people from wanting to come to church because they're so religious. And that is exactly what happened in the Bible when Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth. The religious leaders and the Romans wanted to crucify him because he wanted to change the way it was done. I said a couple months ago, if I had to live by the law, if I had to live by the law to a T, there was no way I could do it. The only way that I can live that law to a T and be without sin is through the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on that cross and by his resurrection from that tomb. That's the only way. I can't do it on my own. So anybody that believes in formal religion and doing the formal things that they do in the big churches and thinking that, you know, everybody's got to wear a suit to church on Easter. All the ladies got to wear new dresses. All the kids got to have new clothes on. All this stuff, that's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. You're not going to find it in here. Jesus was a simple man. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he came to this earth to show you and I how simple he was and how he could use simple people to reach people. Now, this is one of my favorite stories, and I thank God that he brought me to this in the Bible. So let's get into the scripture. And I want to show you in verse 34 right off what I got to get down here where I can run them down the aisles. But let me take my water with me. But before we get started into the scripture, I want to say one thing. Jesus loves you, and Jesus has got you here this morning for a reason. And that reason is to listen to what he has to say to you about religion versus Jesus Christ. Okay? The first thing that he does, now Jesus has been through 5 days. In my morning devotionals this week, I started out at day one, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and today in what Christ went through. He went through a time in his life that none of us have ever been in, none of us will ever go through. I don't care how bad you have had it, none of us has went through what he went through for us. Now, we get into the scripture, and Jesus is hanging on the cross at Calvary, and the people are talking about him, cursing him. We'll read that in a minute. In verse 34, he says, then Jesus said, now, Jesus has been in 6 trials. He has been dragged back and forth from trial to trial, beaten, carried his cross to Calvary, fell out, a guy had to carry it for him, and nailed him to the cross. He's hanging on the cross, and the people are talking about him. 3:32 and 33 says, there were also 2 other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Jesus, get the scene. Jesus is on this place called Calvary. If you've been to Israel, I had the opportunity to go there. It's a big old hill. It looks like a skull. He is hanging on that cross, nails driven to his hands and feet, and these 2 guys are standing by him, hanging. People are at the foot of the cross, cursing him, spitting on him, hollering at him. If you be the King of the Jews, save yourself and us. He just hangs there. And what does he say in verse 34? Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. What's it say to me and you? God realizes that you and I as people are just people. God realizes that we are capable of sin, that we are capable of failing. And God knew the only way that he could see us through to heaven is that he sent his son, and Jesus is hanging on that cross, blood dripping from him, pattern torn. Doctors have proven that he was, you know, that he was breathing. The rib cage was open, and his intestines were probably spilling out of his rib cage. Yet in all that pain and all that suffering and everything he'd been from the garden to the six trials all over, yet he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then they divided his garment at the cross. They divided. They gambled over his clothes. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers then sneered, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is finished, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ, the chosen God, and the soldiers mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. Well, if you back up in the court trials, he had done told them he was the king of the Jews. They asked, you say I am. He wouldn't say anything. He had already said that he is the king. And the inscription also written above his head, letters in Greek and Latin, this is the king of the Jews. Now, there were two men, one on the left and one on the right. They had been tried for stealing, for murder, they had been mean, they had been bad, they had been as bad as any of us have been. If you're looking out there and you're looking at me saying this preacher thinks he's perfect, and I am not perfect, and I promise you, there is nothing in here, not too much, that you have done that I haven't done. I want you to understand that this morning. There's probably nothing that you have done that I haven't done. The difference is God forgave me. I accepted that he done it. These two men are hanging there, one on the right, one on the left. Verse 39 says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. I mean, he looked at him, and what they're talking about, he looked at Jesus, and he cussed him. He cussed him. He didn't just say, you blasphemed him. He cursed him. He told him, if you owe so-and-so you, I'm going to put it where you can understand it. You owe so-and-so you, if you are the king, if you all the stuff you're telling us, if you are him, get down off that cross and save us. And Jesus just hung there. Then it says in verse 40, but the other answered, rebuking him. The other criminal that was hanging there looked at him and said, hey, look, you and I are guilty of everything that we are hanging here for, that they have put us on this cross for. But this man, he didn't do anything. I mean, Pilate even said, I don't find anything wrong with him. I can't find anything in the law that he has done. And this criminal told this other one that had cursed him, said, why are you doing that? Why? I mean, there comes a point in your life when you're so down and you're so hurt and you're so messed up, the first thing you got to realize is I got a problem. And then you got to realize you got to do something about it. And then you got to do something about it. And what this guy did right then, he asked God, and this is what I want you to see. This is what God wants you to see this morning. Y'all with me? This guy said, this is how he asked forgiveness. The other answered, rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? Do you fear God this morning? We think that everything is okay until something happens, and then, oh my God, you might not have used God in any other way except the wrong way. But the second something happened, oh my God. This guy was on the cross. He was dying. He knew that it was finished, that it was over with, that he had a problem. You may be in the same place this morning. It may be financial. It may be drugs. It may be alcohol. It may be divorce. It might be whatever it is. You may be in the very same place. And I want you to see that all you got to do, instead of the rest of the world that we live in and not fearing God, you got to fear God. You got to realize you got a problem. And this guy just looked at him and said, "Guy," he said, "don't you fear God?" So I said, "Do you fear God?" Verse 41. He said, "And we indeed justly, we have done exactly what we're hanging here for, and we deserve nothing but death." Now let me tell you something. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and you're still out there in sins, hurting, and don't say you're happy, because I know you're not happy. I was there and I wasn't happy, but I didn't know nothing to do about it. I mean, I knew what I had to do, but I was scared to do it because I didn't want to quit what I was doing. But when you get to the point that, hey, this is killing me, then you realize, hey, God, and you begin to see who God is. And this guy, "Don't you fear God? We are justly being killed." So that guy, in a roundabout way, he confessed before Christ. And the Bible says, Romans 10:9-10, "Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved." That's what he did. He said, "I'm sorry." He said, "Why are you cussing him? We are guilty." In verse 42, he said to Jesus, this is when he realized he had a problem. He started to do something about the problem. And the first thing he done, he said, "Don't you fear God?" He began to fear God. And then he looked at Jesus, knowing that he's fixed to be killed, that he's been hanging there, that he's bleeding, that they're fixing to break his legs. They're fixing to make sure that he is dead, because the time was coming for the Passover celebration. And he looked at Christ. This is my last hope. Think about it. Laying in the hospital bed. Laying in a jail cell. Laying in a dope house. Taking the last drink of whiskey out of a bottle. And you hate it. You hate it. But you've never been able to do anything about it. And this guy realized. He says, "Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's all he said. "Remember me." Pay attention. Remember. That's all he said. He said, "Remember me." And look at what Jesus did. Now, Jesus looked back at him, and Jesus said, "Assuredly," assuredly means for sure, definitely. You got it. "For sure, definitely, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." I want to ask you something about that guy now. Christians, religious people, religious leader. This old boy's hanging on the cross. He'd been picked up by the police for murder. He's in the electric chair. He's fixed to die. He calls on Christ. This old boy probably never been in church in his life. He had never took a class on getting baptized. He had never read a word of the Bible. He had never been in the temple to listen to the reading of the scroll. He was just an old boy, had done messed up his life like I had one day and like you had one day if you're saved. And he looked over there and he said, "Hey, I've tried everything else. And it's not working. I'm fixed to die. So why not? Why not?" And he said, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus just looked at him and said, "Assuredly, assuredly, most assuredly, today you will be with me in paradise." That guy probably never went to church, probably never listened to the reading of the word in the temples. Let me tell you, this is something going to get you now. Say, "Well, this is a crazy preacher. I'm just preaching what's in the Bible. Ain't no baptism." He didn't baptize. People ask me all the time, "Do I need to get baptized?" My answer to that is yes. Jesus got baptized. But do I have to get baptized? I've had people in this church many years ago when I first came that called me when they found out that I was back home preaching And they wanted me to baptize their kid. None of our kids have been baptized. Can you baptize them? I said, well, if they have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I can baptize them. But baptism is just an act that you showing people that you're following God. That don't have anything to do with it. What has to do with it is that you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and trust Him with your life, realizing, somebody told me today, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can. You know what? You can't do nothing. Can't quit drinking. Can't quit smoking. Can't quit doping. Can't quit nothing that you're doing. You can't quit. You have to have Jesus Christ in your life to quit. And it's not about, I say that y'all say, well, this preacher at Oakhurst is crazy. Go back and tell your pastor. It ain't about going to church. I want you to go to church. If you accept Jesus Christ in your life, He will start to work on that. And religious people, it's not about them. You got to quit all that before you come to church. You ain't got to quit nothing to come to church. The religious leaders grabbed a prostitute one day, and Jesus was sitting there on the ground, writing in the dirt, probably drawing the fish. And they throwed her at His feet. And they said, we have caught her in a very act of prostitution. And Jewish law, the law again, demanded that she be stoned to death. And Jesus didn't even look up and said that there was real highly educated Pharisees and Sadducees. And Jesus just kept, He said, if there be one among you without sin, cast the first stone. You know what they did? Said from the most educated to the least, walked off. He said, go your way and sin no more. You see, we just got to realize that it is not. Now, I'm not slamming the church this morning. Don't get me wrong. Y'all don't run me off. But I am telling you, it is not about all of this formalism. Two or three people asked me this, where are you going to be? I ain't got a clue where I'm going to be. I can't tell them to print a bulletin. I'm going to be in Luke 9, verse 6. I don't know. You see, we got to learn to trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And again, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, confess with your mouth, this old boy. Then he said, Jesus. He confessed. Jesus. He says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And he done told that guy, you fear God? Don't you fear? He's telling God, I fear you. And then he said, Lord, remember me this day. Remember me. And he wasn't even planning on going. You see, he just said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And God said, this day, today, buddy, you live with me in paradise today. Do you see how easy it is? It's not about, church is wonderful. I want you to come to church. Reading the Bible, you got to read the Bible to stay in the Bible. You got to pray. And you got to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's all you got to do. We sang a song a while ago, it is finished. The battle is ended. And Jesus, our Savior, has won. Jesus was on that cross. And it's hard for you and I as people to comprehend because we fight. The Bible says that we fight against, not against flesh and blood, not against me and you fight, but against demons and principalities of darkness. That's that makes you want to do things that you shouldn't do. That's that fight. But when you lift up the name of Jesus, that devil or that those demons flee. And so, all we have to do is confess and believe. Again, do you understand how easy it is? Have I lost anybody? If I've lost you, talk to him after church. That's how simple it is. Jesus, I messed up. I have messed up my whole life, and I just can't go any further. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Jesus said this, say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. I thought of something a while ago. I sat down in my office and I wrote it down. See if this makes any sense to you, God. I have held many things in my hand and have lost them all. Held a lot of things in my hand, lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hand, I still have. If you put your life in God's hand, you will still have it. Because Jesus conquered death this morning, you and I can know for sure. And I don't care if you, I want you to come back to church next Sunday, but if you don't, you make it right with Jesus, and that's what you got to do. Jesus, work on that. Have you ever in your life just asked God, forgive me? I wrote down this prayer this week, and this is we're going to give an invitation in a minute. But all you got to do is say, dear God, thank you for loving me. I know that I have failed to live up to be perfect, and I'm truly sorry for the sins of my life. I believe that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, and I'm trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone to save me from my sin. Thank you. Forgive me and come into my life. That's it. It's not about having 6 weeks to 45-minute counseling sessions with the preacher. Hey, I can't save you. I can't do anything but tell you how you can get saved. Thought about something this morning. I think about the Easter egg hunt that the kids are going to have in a little while. And we got a couple ladies in this church, Miss Jerry and Miss Judy, and they decorate these eggs, all kind of shapes and fashions. And before they decorate them eggs, they put a little bitty hole in the end, in both ends, and they get all the egg out of it. And it makes it an empty shell. You see, I went to Israel back in 2000, and that tomb is empty. That tomb won't do nothing for me. That egg that they, them pretty eggs that they got is so beautiful. You could take that egg and you can go to bake cookies with it, you could crack it, there's nothing in it. The egg's gone. Jesus Christ is gone from that tomb, and he lives. It is finished. It is done. He has conquered death. And all you got to do, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died, that he rose again, that he's going to prepare a place for you, and once he is going to come back and get you, whether it is in death or when it is in the end of the world, the rapture of the church, he's going to come and get you. And just trust him. And if you do that this morning, you're going to say, you're going to walk out that door, walk over to eat, and you're going to right off. You're going to do something. That's okay. You see, you're still in the flesh. Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross at Calvary, not to give us a luxury to sin when we want to, but if we fall flat on our face, all we got to do is call out. That thief on that cross was saying, Lord, save me. And he looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. That's all it is to it. And regardless of what the TV preachers say, when you say that, you're going to feel good. If you mean it in your heart, you confess it, you're going to feel real good. But don't expect to go home and stop whatever it is you know. I'm just going to quit. You give it to God. First thing you do is give yourself to God. And then He will show you what you need to get rid of, and He will work with you. It might take you 9 years. It might take you 25 years. But He is one that's going to stay with you. This world wants people to be perfect. It's not about perfect. It's about perfect, all right. It's about Jesus Christ. He's the only perfect one that ever lived on this earth, that ever walked on this earth, and there hadn't been a perfect one since then. Anything that has passed through your hands is in the world is gone. Anything that Jesus gives you, you still got. He loves you. Let's stand and pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, Lord. I know, Lord, there's people in this church that I just pray, Lord God, that your word open up their eyes and open up their ears, and God, open up, show them what they need to do in their life. And God, I pray right now, Sister Ruth, Brother Tommy, play this song of invitation. Lord, that they would realize what they need to do. And God, that they would do it. And God, help us remember that you, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever. And God, I pray right now, if there's one here that doesn't know you, God, they'd make their way down this aisle and kneel at this altar or stand where they are and just say that prayer. Lord, I messed up. And Lord, I know now that you are the King, and Father, I want to give you the rest of my life, and I want to do the best. I want to be the best person I can be through you. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.